Testament reading comes from Numbers chapter 12. And it's speaking about the opposition that was shown against Moses. You see, Moses was called by God to lead his people out of slavery in Egypt. And by following God's instruction, eventually Moses was able to lead his people out. But because the people refused to enter Canaan as God had intended, they spent 40 years in the wilderness. And during this time, dissension grew. And Moses' brethren Aaron and his sister Miriam spoke against Moses. And this comes about perhaps aided by the fact that it appears that Moses' first wife, Zipporah, had died and he'd remarried an Ethiopian woman. And this caused a rift. And Aaron and Miriam claimed equal status with Moses as prophets. Thank you. Cheryl?
Beginning at in verse 1, chapter 12 of Numbers. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, "Aaron and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting." So the three came out. Then the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both went forward. Then he said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings, and he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper. So Aaron said to Moses, "O my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us, in which we have done foolishly and in which we have sinned. Please do not let her be as one dead, whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb." So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "Please heal her, O God, I pray." Then the Lord said to Moses, "If her father had but spit in her face, would she not be shamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterward she may be received again." So Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people did not journey till Miriam was brought in again. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you very much. God said, "I speak with him face to face." This is God's servant Moses here on earth. "I speak to him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings. He sees the form of the Lord." This is the great man Moses, who had the gigantic task of leading all the Israelites out of captivity in Egypt. There were 600,000 adult men that came out. So you put wives and families with them, you could be up around somewhere 1.5-2 million people. It was a mammoth task that Moses had undertaken with God. And here these situations kept coming up, that we know throughout the wanderings in the wilderness that the Israelites kept grumbling against the food and against the water and against the situation out there and the difficulties of living in the wilderness. and murmuring so bad they wanted to go back into Egypt, into slavery. Anything was better than this. And in this particular case, Moses' own brother Aaron and his sister Miriam was the one that followed him in the basket down the River Nile when he was floated off by his family. They claimed equal status with Moses as prophets. And God spoke to all three of them, putting things right, declaring Moses, "My servant Moses, he is faithful in all my house." Declaring that Moses was in charge. And we learn from Scripture that Moses had his failings, but he was a great man. Whereas Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was sinless here on earth. And he will lead his people to eternal glory. Moses had the job of bringing the people out of slavery to the promised land. Jesus has paid the price to bring us all the way home to heaven. And as we look at the life of Jesus Christ, and as believers and followers of Jesus Christ, as we open up the Scriptures and as the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts, we know and understand all the things that are mentioned in this hymn, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, the Lord Jesus shall return again, and at his voice creation. These are the powers, and this is the sovereignty of our Lord Jesus Christ. And these are the things that the rest of the world has no idea of, because they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour, and they don't read the Scriptures in the light of the Holy Spirit. And as we look at Hebrews chapter 3 verses 1 and 2 this morning, we see more of this profile of Jesus Christ and what he has done. Looking back through history, as I said earlier, the history of man, Abraham would have been the most revered by the Jewish people. He was the great patriarch of old. And then of course there was Moses. And we got to remember that this letter was written to the Hebrews, the Israelites. And in verse 1, this verse is written and especially pointed out to the holy brethren. The holy brethren, the converted people in the household of God. These are saved by the grace of God and are partakers of the heavenly calling. This tragically excludes all the unsaved, those who have rejected Jesus Christ. Let's look at the reading that's before us this morning. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, holy brethren, the writer says, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. So he's asking here to consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. As Moses also was faithful. We understand from the teaching of Scripture that all true Christians, all true believers, share in their heavenly calling and also with Jesus Christ, as chapter 2, 14 tells us. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he, Jesus Christ himself, likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Jesus Christ took on flesh and blood as we are today. When he went back to heaven, he sent the Comforter to dwell in our hearts today, the Holy Spirit. So through flesh and blood, Jesus Christ joined himself with man, and through the working of the Holy Spirit, we join ourselves into the household of God as partakers of Christ. It is through the working of the Holy Spirit that we are members of his body, his flesh, his bones. In Ephesians 5:30, it speaks there especially when Paul says, "For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. And we also are partakers of the Holy Spirit. In Hebrews 6, 4, those who have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, the working of the Holy Spirit within us. Romans 8 and verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. This is the great blessing that we have received through the working of Jesus Christ coming to this earth and going to the cross. And so we need to know continuously, every day, daily, we need to understand just exactly what Jesus has done to bring about our redemption, to bring about this hope and this certainty that we have in our heart that heaven is waiting. Heaven is waiting. So being God's children, we also partake of God's chastening or correcting. In Hebrews 12 verse 8, but if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. So just as a parent corrects a child when they do wrong, they might scold the child for doing wrong, so God deals with us when we do wrong. From the time of the disciples till now, all true Christians are partakers of one heavenly calling. One heavenly calling. There is only one way, and that's through, I am the way, the truth and the life, Jesus said. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is one name given to man under heaven by which man will be saved. The name is Jesus Christ. So all of us, without exception, are able to give the same confession of faith, that of Jesus Christ. We all give thanks to Jesus Christ, for we all are saved through his one and only sacrifice on the cross. And the scriptures are saying here, consider him. Consider him. And in speaking to the Hebrews, we know that Abraham was the great patriarch. We know the wonderful work of Moses and how God dealt with Aaron and Miriam when they came against God's servant Moses. Moses was a great man. But consider Christ. Our confession also is that we, the believers, are strangers and pilgrims on this earth today. We're at odds with the world today and the world's thinking today. We think differently, our values are different, and we have a certain hope of eternal life that the lost have got no perception of. We are forever evolving. Some believe we'll come back as an animal. Some say this life is it. When this life is finished, that's it. Dust to dust, ashes to ashes. But we have the working of the Holy Spirit in our heart. We have to understand this. We are flesh and blood, and we'll remain flesh and blood till our last day. But we have the indwelling Holy Spirit. We have this gift from God that is ever working in us and ever fresh in our hearts today. We're old and frail and we cannot move, some of us, the way we used to. But the Spirit is being renewed day by day by the love of God through the Holy Spirit. We have working in us today, the true believer, the work of the Holy Spirit, in conjunction with the Word of God, through the working and the wonderful work of the Son of God, who came to this earth and paid the price on the cross. We know as believers and through studying and working through the scriptures, we know the end from the beginning. We've got all the history of the creation of the world and the creation of mankind and the work and what happened in the Garden of Eden, the sacrificial system that God set up for the Jewish nation. And that sacrificial system was pointing to and foreshadowing the sacrifice of God's only Son, Jesus Christ. And we come under the blood of Christ as believers. We know the end from the beginning. We know the coming judgment that is promised in the scriptures. And that judgment is on unrepentant sinners. And they're going to have nowhere to hide. We read in the scriptures about a new heaven and a new earth. We read in the scriptures that this mortality has to put on immortality. We're going to be given a heavenly body, a spiritual body, an eternal body. These are the things that every believer knows and understands. They're promised in the scriptures. We have the history of the scriptures, the history of the Old Testament. We have the history that's given to us in the Gospels of what Jesus Christ has done. We have Peter's sermon at Pentecost explaining to the Jews what happened when Christ was crucified, that God raised him from the dead. This is who we must consider. We all take out insurances on our houses to safeguard us if our house gets burnt down. We insure our car in case there's an accident so we have the surety of being able to get it fixed or replaced if something seriously goes wrong. Many of us take out insurances on our lives so that our loved ones will be able to go on if something happens to us. We do all these things to look after, to protect. Jesus Christ came to this earth to look after and to protect all those who would come to him. He has given us the insurance of eternity in heaven with him. Today you'll be with me in paradise. Remember those words? Now, when we look at the scriptures, we know what Moses had done in leading the Israelites out of Egypt. We've been over it so many times. We know that Moses was reluctantly very, very obedient to God. We know that in the flesh he perhaps failed. I shouldn't say it like that. He failed when he was ordered by God to speak to the rock. And he went up in temper and frustration of the growling and the grumbling of the people behind him, and he struck the rock in order to receive water, and water came out. But because of that disobedience to God, he never entered the promised land. He was able to go up and look over the promised land, but he never crossed the Jordan. He never went in. We know what Moses has done. We know that he first gave up his work as a shepherd of sheep in Midian when God called him at the burning bush. He left that place, going back into Egypt, where he was a wanted man, and there to face the powerful throne of Pharaoh. And there he was ordered to go and ask permission to take his people away out of slavery in Egypt. We know that God performed many miracles before eventually Moses was able to lead his people out of that slavery. In verse 1, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses was faithful in all his house. This does not say consider Moses, but to consider Christ. But we need to consider Christ, who was God in the flesh. We must consider very carefully Jesus Christ, who he is and what he has done in saving us from the slavery of sin, bringing us to that position of eternal life. He defeated the devil. And not only for you and for all of us here this morning, but for all around the globe, in Sudan, in Ethiopia, in London, in Europe, in America, for all who would call on him. We know that Moses was but a mere man, but he was called, he was given the gigantic calling to be a prophet and a leader and to lead his people to freedom. He was the vessel in God's hand. He was the tool that God used to bring his people to freedom. He was called and commissioned, and he was protected for the task at hand by God Almighty. And while Jesus Christ was sent into the world as God's last word to sinful man, that's the difference. In John 3, verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And then in verse 34, for he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. Moses was a prophet, and on occasion he served as a priest in the tabernacle. And Moses lived and died. And of course we know that Jesus lives forever. Jesus was an apostle and now our great high priest. He is our advocate before the throne of his Father today in heaven. And as an apostle, Jesus Christ represented God to men. When he came to this earth and he walked among men, he represented God to men. And now, as our high priest in heaven, he represents men to God. Moses taught Israel God's truth, the commandments and the statutes. And he also prayed for Israel. In Exodus 32, verses 30 to 32, we read there, now it came to pass on the next day that Moses said to the people, you have committed a great sin, so now I will go up to the Lord, perhaps I can make atonement for you. Moses went back up the mountain to meet with God because they had made a golden calf and they were worshipping an idol. And this was while Moses was up receiving the commandments and the statutes of which the Israelites were to live by in obedience to God. Then Moses returned to the Lord and he said, oh, these people have committed a great sin and have made for themselves a god of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, God, but if you won't forgive them, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written. And the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. We'll read more about that in coming weeks. Moses went down and divided the people who were going to follow Moses and those who wouldn't. And God judged them there and then. Moses was a prophet of the law. But Jesus Christ is the messenger for us here today of the grace of God. The writer to the letter of the Hebrews, says both Moses and Jesus Christ were faithful in the work God gave them to do, except that Moses was not sinless, Jesus was sinless. But we must take away from this the great encouragement for all of us here this morning. For like Moses, who was just a mere man, we also need to and can and are able through the working of the Holy Spirit in our hearts today, we are able to remain faithful to Christ even when times get tough, when times are tough. And so, like Moses, we too can be faithful to our calling. Faithful to our calling. That's what this is about. This is all we're asked to do, to be faithful to the end. Be faithful to the end. And we can do this when we consider Jesus Christ. When we consider Jesus Christ. I want to close with a reading from Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 4. And we read there, But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Imagine how God felt when Jesus hung on that cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He turned his back on his only son, his only begotten son, because he saw in his son the sins of the world. This is the love of God, calling us home to glory, bringing us, reconciling us back to what the great intention was at the beginning of creation. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he has made us alive together with Christ. Together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's our destiny proclaimed here. Our destiny as believers in Jesus Christ to the very end. We're going to sit together with Christ in heavenly places, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That we need to be the testimony God wants us to be. Therefore remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ. Without Christ. The circumcision we have received is a circumcision of the heart. He's taken out our heart of stone and given us a heart of flesh, that we can know him and love him. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. By the blood of Christ. Consider him. Consider him is the message today. Amen.